The day began like any other day. The night gave way to morning. The sounds of the rustles of the morning out on the street was the same as it had been every day. It was obvious it was time to wake up. As the morning began, as it often did, there wasn't an immediate jumping out of the bed and grabbing your clothes and running to the kitchen for breakfast. It was a reaching and feeling and finding the stick. Finding that thing that would give stability and be his eyes. That morning was like any other morning. He would find himself getting out of the bed, find himself over to his normal routine that he's done every single day. But the difference in this man's routine than your routine and my routine is this. He had never seen the color of the walls in his house. He had never seen the color of even the sheets on his bed. He had never experienced the vast array of beauty of a sunrise. All he knew was that it was morning. He had heard the birds chirping as he had heard, even as a child, the songbirds, how beautiful they would sing. And he had heard the people as some would walk slowly down the street, but others would quickly be moving away along because they had somewhere they had to be. This man would do the same thing he did every single day. He would get his clothes the best he could. He'd get his stick, and he'd get his little container. And he'd begin to work his way down the street. People hustling by him on the left and hustling by him on the right, and animals that would be making noise behind him and in front of him. But he would make his way down the street the best he could to that same place he's always been, where he would stop. Maybe he would sit. I don't know. Maybe he would lean up against the wall. Whatever he would do, it was the same thing he would do every single day. For his job, his career, his employment was simply begging. For that was all anybody would allow this man to do. Never having seen the color of a cat or a dog or a camel. Not understanding what it means when someone said, "It's light outside," or "It's a blue sky today." Not understanding those words. But feeling the warmth of the sun on his skin, he settled in to do the same thing he had done yesterday and the day before. That was simply to beg for help. Maybe someone would come by with compassion and drop in a coin. Maybe they'd drop in too. But he'd do the same thing he's done every day because that's all he'd ever known. Today in our story, we come across a man who was born blind. There's great power in the words of "born" because this man had never experienced the beauty that we can see in the colors of a sunrise or a sunset. Today we can look around and we can see how people's clothes match and we do a good job putting ourselves together. This man had no idea how to match colors. He couldn't even match stripes. He couldn't match checks. All he could do was live in a world of complete and utter darkness. He could hear, but because of his blindness, all he could do was beg. We come today to this point where we find that this man is in a very difficult situation. But along comes this man named Jesus. This is how beautiful the story goes, though, is because he encounters this man named Jesus. It was an unplanned event, a moment he had not even penciled in on his calendar, not even a hope in his mind. He didn't cry out to Jesus. He didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, I'm over here." He was simply doing what he had done every single day, expecting to live the same life he had always lived, and that was that of being blind. How often do we live blind? We get so accustomed to only seeing what we see, we can't see what really needs to be seen. That was pretty confusing, wasn't it? That even confused me when I said it. But sometimes we get into a position where we can't see what God really wants us to see, and we're blinded to the spiritual truth. Or maybe this, maybe you can relate to this. Have you ever looked around for God to be working and doing something and it looked like He wasn't even there? Maybe you were going through something or something was so difficult and so hard. You've been praying and you've been looking and you've been crying out to God to do something and it seems to get worse and worse and worse. And you look around and you don't see God's hand anywhere. It could be that we become so blinded. We build walls, don't we? Don't we build our own walls, our own blindness into our life? It comes in the forms of unforgiveness and bitterness. It comes in the form of hurt and pain. Sometimes we build walls simply because of our own preconceived ideas about others or a prejudice we may have in our hearts towards someone, our neighbor, or someone else. There's many walls that we can build that can blind us. But I'm here to tell you one thing. The only way that we can truly see as God sees is through Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody help me preach now. There's not a lot of people here today, so help me out. The only way we can truly see as God sees is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Now this morning we come to this story where here is a man who was born blind. He did not ask to be part of this conversation or this discussion, but as they're walking down the street, Jesus and His disciples, the disciples decide to pick on Him. Seeing this man born blind, the disciples say to Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Okay, now there's a deep theological discussion that needs to take place at this point. I would pull them aside and say, okay, how exactly can someone sin before they're born to cause them to be born blind? This doesn't make a lot of sense, disciples. But here they are asking, whose fault is this? They're wanting to point fingers. Isn't that a lot like us sometimes? We want to find someone to blame to cope with our own pain, to cope with our own questions of life. We try to find some way that we can point a finger and say, this is why. Sometimes there's just a mystery, isn't there, Abram? Mysteries do exist. And so here is this man, and he has just become part of this discussion that's going to be taking place. Jesus answers the disciples in verse 3 of chapter 9 of John. It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents. You guys are trying to figure out someone to blame why this guy's in this position. But Jesus says it's not his parents and it's not him. Says, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light. Now, I want you to take notice here. This is a story about someone born blind, which they have lived in what? Darkness. Jesus is bringing about this point here that he is the light. And as long as he's in the world, he is the light. But as soon as he leaves the world, the disciples become the light. We are the light of the world. That light has not ceased to exist because Jesus is dwelling in us. We are the light. There are people who are blind today who needs to see the light, and it only comes through us. Jesus is not going to write in a neon sign in the sky when he's asked you and I to be faithful to be that light. And here is this man, he's born blind. Jesus responds to the disciples' questions. And when Jesus said this in verse 6, now this is where it gets really guyish. I mean, this is definitely something a boy would do. I mean, listen to this, Mike. Jesus spit on the ground. Is that just something that a guy would do? I mean, just do a good little spit right there, Dr. Jackson. I mean, right there on the dirt and make a mud pie out of it. All right, guys, how about some confession this morning? Have you ever just played in the mud? Come on, if you've played in the mud, raise your hand. I know I did. When I was a kid, I even see a girl's hand going up. That's all right. All right. Playing in the mud as kids, that's what we like to do, get dirty. Here is Jesus doing something you would think, oh, but this is Jesus. Why is he spitting? That's just nasty. Does anybody think it's just nasty to spit? Come on. I know my wife has taught me and my son, stop the spitting. You know, that's just common. You know, there's a sense of decency about you that you just don't do any spitting around people. Unless it's just a bunch of guys sitting around the fire or something, you might spit. But here is Jesus. He sees this man. He says nothing to the man. He addresses the disciples, and then he just spits in the dirt. Look at verse 6. And he made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to the man's eyes. Did the man ask Jesus to do this? Do you see anywhere where the man saying, Jesus, will you heal me? Anywhere where he's asking Jesus, Jesus, how about us playing in the mud? He's not. Jesus just bends down, spits in the dirt, and makes some mud and puts it on the man's eyes. The man is sitting there hearing all the conversation going on as he, I'm sure, he has heard all kinds of things all of his life sitting there, people making fun of him and saying things to him. But I want you to check this out. Verse 7, Jesus says to him, speaks to the man for the very first time. He just says this to the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So, I love this word. This tells us what this man does in response to Jesus' actions and Jesus' words in his life. Can I tell you something? It does not matter where you've come from or where you're going or where you're at today. Jesus has been speaking into your life. He's been doing things into your life. And it is the so you must listen to. As a matter of fact, as we look at this man today, the first thing that I want us to notice about this man is that this man obeyed in his blindness and he came back seeing. Check this out in verse 7. Jesus tells him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went and washed. Now this man could have gone back home, couldn't he? This man could have said, now why did he go and do something like that? Now I bet I look like a fool out here. I got this dirt all over my face, this mud on my eyes. I need to go home and clean this off. But Jesus said, go and wash where? He didn't say home. He didn't say at your neighbor's house. He said, go to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. This man made a decision in that moment. Jesus has been speaking into my life. Jesus has been working in my life. He has asked me to do something. This man obeyed in his blindness. Jesus did not heal him when he put the clay on his eyes. The man still had to obey in his blindness. See, we often think that Jesus is just going to do something and heal us immediately. It could be that Jesus is simply seeing and asking and pleading for us to obey Him before He can bring greater blessings. Can I tell you something? Obedience to the Lord will bring blessings into your life. Somebody needs to write that down. That was just so good. I'm going to say that again. Obedience to the Lord will bring blessings into your life. Now, sometimes you may find yourself being persecuted, which we're going to see this happen in this man's life. But when you obey the Lord and as He has asked you to do, when you obey Him in your blindness, when you don't understand, when you are totally confused, it makes no sense, you obey Him, you're going to be amazed at how you're going to receive sight and what to do next. But here is this man. He went away and he washed. And I love the last words of verse 7. And he came back. What was he doing? He was seeing. He could see. I once was blind, but now I see. He has experienced something. And let me tell you something. He had a story to tell. This man had a story to tell. All his life, all he could tell you about was what it was like to be blind. Now here is a man who has a story because he's encountered Jesus. Verse 8, therefore the neighbors. Now look, there are several people that looked at this man in different ways. You have the disciples that looked at him as a mess up or a sinner or as a cause of something bad. You have his neighbors. Check this out. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a what? What did they see him as? A beggar. They only saw this man as a beggar, not an opportunity or potential or as value. He was only simply a beggar. He was regulated to nothing else but begging. They were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, yep, this is him. That's a little loose translation, Southern there. Yep, this is him. It says, still others were saying, no, he just looks like him. This can't be him. But this man kept on saying this. I am the one. I am the one. Yeah, I am that guy. I am the one that was blind and was begging. So they were saying to this guy, well, tell us then, if you're this man who was blind and the beggar, then how is it that your eyes are now open? How is it that you can see? Verse 11, he answered them and said, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know where he's at. Someone needs to hear this today. God has been asking you to do something in your life, and you continue to refuse to do exactly what he has asked you to do. And until you do it, you will never see the blessings of God in your life. You keep looking for God to do something in your life. You're expecting him to do something before you have the responsibility of obeying what he's already asked you to do. So I'm here to tell you today, God wants to give it to you. He's not holding it back because he's being mean or he's being angry or he has it ready. It's prepared. He's got it all fixed up. All you have to do is obey and do what he said. I know it doesn't make sense. I know it seems to be weird, and you're probably going to look like a fool. Can you imagine this blind man walking through the streets with mud all over his eyes, made out of spit on the ground? Can you imagine what he looked like? He looked like a fool. But yet, this man obeyed what God said, and he was blessed, and he could see, and he had a story to tell. Now, it would be great if we could just end the story there and say, man, this was good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's have an altar call and go home, right? But there's more to the story. As we get into verse 13, a bunch of people got involved, and they brought this man to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the religious people of the day. They were the churchy people. They were the ones in charge of the text and teaching people about God. And it says they brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now, it was a Sabbath on the day that Jesus healed him. Now, that in itself is going to scream problems. Because Jesus made clay on the Sabbath and opened this man's eyes. And the Pharisees had come up with this idea, and this, you don't do any work on the Sabbath. By the way, Saturday is the Sabbath. And did you know that even in Jerusalem today, they are so much a stickler about the Sabbath. They have written these rules so that when you go into a building in Israel and you want to go to the third floor with an elevator, you do not push any buttons. That elevator is set and pre-programmed that it will go to every floor and open. You just have to step on and wait till it gets to the floor and open. As a matter of fact, I had a Jewish friend one time who actually, his refrigerator was programmed not to have the light bulb come on the Sabbath on Saturday because the light was considered work. See, these Pharisees considered this work, and if you're going to work on the Sabbath, then obviously you're not following God, you're not obeying God, you are against him. But here we have this story where this man obeys God, is following him. And so they're coming at him going, the Sabbath. This man has done work on the Sabbath. There's got to be a problem. Then the Pharisees, verse 15, also were asking him again how he received his sight. The neighbors were asking him, now the Pharisees, and he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. You see how simple his story is? Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such miracles, such signs? And there was a division among the Pharisees. So they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The man who was blind, all he knew was to obey. He obeyed, and he still did not fully understand who Jesus was. He saw Jesus as a prophet. But the Pharisees, they had gotten bothered and split. Now, verse 18, I don't want you to miss this. Because it says, the Jews then did not believe it of him. Hello? The man was blind, and now he sees. He's telling the same story. You can always find consistency in witnesses. When you find a consistency in their story, that's got to be the truth. It's when you find the inconsistencies that there's a problem. Here's a man who keeps telling the same story. And the Pharisees, it says, the Jews did not believe it of him. that he had been blind and had received sight until they called the parents of the very man. So see, they had to find out a little bit more information. Now this Jesus, yeah, he did a great sign, but surely, good goodness, this man wasn't born blind. See, this man encountered opposition even though he had experienced God's blessing in his life. Can I tell you something? You may think just because you're a Christian or you're coming to church, everything's going to be rosy and everybody's going to treat you nicely. Can I tell you something? We are living in a culture where we are going to be treated worse and worse and worse because we're a Christian. When you sign up to follow Jesus Christ, you sign up for a war and a battle. Not in a mean way, but one to love people and one that you're going to have to endure when people are going to oppose you because you believe Jesus Christ is your hope and your future. This man had Jesus work in his life, and yet he found opposition from the very ones he thought would accept him. He encountered opposition, and all through this, these people are beginning to try to figure out what's going on. So they question the parents, and they ask, they say, "All right, mom and dad, was he born blind? Yes or no?" And the answer, yes, he was born blind. Then tell us, mom and dad, how is it? How is it that he can see? Well, they say, why don't you ask him? Now, the reason they say that, and you can read this in scriptures, because they're afraid of these religious people. They're scared. Because they had already said that if you support Jesus, we're kicking you out of church. We're kicking you out of the synagogue. You're not going to be in here anymore if you support Jesus. So they are like, you ask him. He's old enough. He's a big boy. His parents even turned their back on him in the midst of the miracle in his life. He had a choice to make. Is he going to stick with his story? But what I love that we can see here is, yes, he does. Even in verse 28, we find that they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses." The leaders were coming at him hard, and they were going against him, even though he had a testimony. And what really amazes me, in verse 34, we find the last words in verse 34 is that they put him out. They put him out of the synagogue. But can I tell you, it wasn't a huge loss. This is why. Because he was blind anyway, and they didn't accept him. They didn't invite him into the synagogue. He couldn't go to the holy places because he was blind. So being kicked out of the synagogue, he had already been there. He had just got to go in there for the first time. But his parents were so focused on their own position that it caused this problem. But this man, even though he had a story to tell, he did not understand everything. Look at verse 25 for me. Because they ask him again, "Give glory to God, not Jesus. This Jesus is a sinner." He says, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But here's what I do know, Larry, is that once I was blind, but now I see." Here's what I can tell you that I really do know. That Jesus has done something in my life. I went from being blind to being able to see. And what I love about this man is he did not cave in to the pressure. He did not cave in to the people working against him, trying to destroy his testimony. He did not cave in to what they were asking him to do. He stood his ground because he had a story to tell. He absolutely knew something had happened in his life. Can I tell you something today? God's got a plan for you greater than you even can see what it is. In your life, you may be looking around and you may see a lot of stuff going on. But this is what I want you to believe, that God's plan for me is greater than what I can see. You may be saying, I'm doing pretty good right now. Well, I got news for you. God's plan for you is greater than what you can see. You can say, well, my life is in shambles. I can't seem to get anything together. The house is a wreck. My work is a wreck. My family is a wreck. Everything is a mess around me. Can I tell you something? God's got a plan greater than you can actually see in your life. This man here woke up every single day expecting to just be a beggar, just be the same thing that everybody saw. The Pharisees thought he was a liar. His parents thought he was a scammer. The neighbors thought he was just a beggar. The disciples thought that he was a sinner. But Jesus himself said, this man's got potential and God's going to use him. Look at verse 3 again. Jesus said, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God may be displayed in him. Can I tell you something? God's got a plan for you to display the works of God in your life beyond what you've ever thought possible. You may say, well, I just don't have the ability to preach like you. So what? God can do greater things with you than he can with me. I don't believe that, Pastor. Well, I do. I expect that God can do greater things with people than he ever can do with me as well. God's got a plan for you to do great things. This man thought his life was nothing but to be a beggar for the rest of his life until Jesus came along. And Jesus says, this man, his potential is greater than anybody ever thought. See, this man went from, I cannot even make it through the town without some kind of a guide or someone holding my hand, to singing that song that Jeff sang several months ago. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. See, this man may have seen the color red for the very first time in his life. He may have seen the color blue for the first time in his life. Can you imagine when he washes his eyes and he begins to look up, and the light's beginning to shine in his eyes, and he's rubbing away, and all of a sudden he's looking, and what he hears comes together, what he hears comes together with what he sees. And he sees a bird flying for the very first time. He sees clouds. He sees these clouds up there. He saw them, and he was like, wow. Can you imagine that moment? That's why this man said, look, You may ask me questions, but this I do know. I was blind, but now I see. One of my favorite parts of this whole story is found right here in verse 30. I believe this is where we're at. Go back to verse 27. They keep asking him about his eyes. How is it then that you can see even though you were born blind? This is great, verse 27. He said, I told you already. How many times do I have to tell you? The man put stuff on my eyes. I went and did what he said, and now I can see. This man named Jesus. He says in verse 27, I told you already, and you haven't, you're just not listening to me. Have you ever talked to somebody and just said, you're just not listening to me? Come on now, wives. I know you've said that about your husbands. I know you've said that about your boyfriends and people you know. He says, look, I've already told you and you're not listening to me. Check this out. I love this. You might want to circle this in verse 27. He says, you do not want to be one of his disciples, do you? I mean, this man is not being shaken or shattered because he understands the plan that God had for him is greater than what he had experienced all of his life. He was in a moment when God had made such a transformation. Such a transformation. And he had embraced it. He was like, you know, I got a story. Here's my story. And you keep asking me about it. Do you want to be his disciple? How many of us, if we were pressured about our story with Jesus, would back away? How many of us would get angry? How many of us would just turn and walk away? Here's a man who didn't. This man turned the tables and said, well, you keep asking a lot of questions. Would you like to have a relationship with Jesus Christ today? I mean, let's talk about it. I mean, you keep pressuring me. I love this man's boldness. What an incredible, incredible story. And then in verse 30, the man answers and says to them, well, here's an amazing thing, that you don't know where this man is actually from. And yet, he opened my eyes. I was watching an incredible movie last night where this man was pronounced dead. The atheist doctor comes in and he actually signs off on the death certificate. The man is dead. He signs it, logs it, puts it down. He walks out of the room. A few moments later, as the nurse is standing there telling the lady, she's so sorry, and there's tears in my living room, and we're just all weeping and crying. This guy has died. All of a sudden, beep, beep, and it comes on. After 8 minutes, the nurse runs and gets the doctor and says, "Hey, you need to come see something. I think you missed something." He's like, "What'd I miss?" She said, "Oh, you definitely missed something. You need to come see this." So he walks in, and here's this man. He's now talking and breathing. And here is the doctor standing there going, "Well, let's get a full workup. So let's see what was going on in his body. Let's see what's wrong." And the man looks at him and says, "Do you still not believe?" And the doctor's just kind of quiet, "I believe." And the man looks at him and says, "You just signed my death certificate just a few moments ago that I was dead. And now I am sitting here talking to you." Here is this blind man saying, "You know I was blind, and now I can see. How is it that you can say this man is not from God?" I got news for you today. I was not born blind, I was born crippled. But I'm walking today because of this man named Jesus. Amen. There are people watching today, people in this room today, that doctors have declared certain things in your life. Maybe your mom and dad declared things in your life. Maybe there's been people that said that you're never going to amount to anything. Maybe there's things that's just brought you to a place where you just don't think you can go any farther. And you're looking around and you're going, "Well, where's God? I don't see Him doing this stuff in my life. I'm falling farther and farther back." Can I tell you what you need to do? This is just a suggestion. You need to trust God's hand when you can. His heart when you don't see His hand. When you cannot see God's hand, trust His heart. We have that over in the office, and oftentimes when people will come in and they're in need of something, they will come in and they will sit down on a couch, and I cannot tell you how many times people have taken a picture of the saying that's in our office, and it says, "When I cannot see God's hand, I must trust His heart." That's what I want to declare to you today. Here is a man who lived his life as a beggar who was blind. He could not see color. He could not see God's hand. He did not even realize what was going on. But he trusted the heart of the man named Jesus who said, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." And because he did trust, in his blindness, he came back seeing. Where are you today? What has God asked you to do? How is He dealing in your life? What blindness do you have? Can I tell you? There's a good possibility many of us here are blind in some form or fashion. If we ever say, "Well, I'm not blind, I see everything," then you obviously are blind, by the way. Because I got news for you. I'm still learning stuff. I'm still growing. I'm still maturing in Christ. It's a sanctification process. This whole thing is a beautiful picture of the journey of faith for us. See, sometimes it's been argued that salvation must be a switch, but yet you'll come across those people that'll say, "It wasn't really a switch, it was more of a dimmer for me." This is a man who experienced Jesus, and God was working in his life, did a miracle in his life, had his hand in his life, was speaking into his life. He was trusting and obeying, not fully understanding. And then we're going to see next week at the end of chapter 9, he encounters Jesus face to face. For the first time, he can see Him. Fascinating. But I don't know where you are today. Maybe you have someone in your life that you believe is blind. They're spiritually blinded. That they cannot see truth. Can I tell you something? You're not going to heal them. You are not going to be the one that's going to change their blindness to sight. Somebody needs to own that today. It's Jesus that's going to change them. Jesus is the only one. Stop trying to change them from blindness to sight. And just love on them, pray for them, bring them to Jesus, let Jesus do His work. Because I'm here to tell you, you can try as hard as you can to take someone from darkness to light. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. You're released from changing and transforming someone's life. We still have to be obedient. We still have to do what God has asked us to do. But He's the one that can change lives. Do you have somebody on your heart right now? Is it you? Is it someone in your family? As we stand and as we sing in a moment, I want you to lift their name up right now as we pray. Pray with me. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. No other name. No other name. No other way. No other form. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died on the cross, who rose from the grave, the power of resurrection, who the power that overcame death, the power who overcame blindness. Father, I pray right now that you'll do that in people's lives. There may be somebody right now listening, watching, or sitting in this room, Lord, who needs a touch from you. They have lived a life of blindness. They have been nothing but a beggar. They've been searching and trying to find, and they can't fully see. I pray, God, that you will reveal to them and clarify for them your way. May they respond boldly with courage to obey what you're asking them to do, even if it doesn't make sense, because your blessings are going to come from that obedience. Father, today, work in our hearts. Work in our hearts that we may be able to see clearly as you would ask us to see. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.